Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It is now time with great intro music for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It is DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How you been?
Pretty well. Pretty well. Feels like the month is flying by to Christmas. Does it feel like the same for you?
I wouldn't say it's flying by, but yeah.
Different to different people.
It's been busy. So how was your break?
Oh, I'm so honored that you realized I was out. Interview quality just dropped off. It was good. It was good, Coach. I appreciate you asking. I would love to ask you how stunned you are that Bill Belichick is a college head coach now.
I would say I'm stunned. Because, you know, I just think just the way our industry has gone, you know, I think that's a little bit of a new frontier, college football. And I'm sure there's definitely some, you know, exciting opportunities. And this sounds like this is one of them. So I wouldn't say I'm stunned. But, I mean, I'd state in the obvious, I mean, because the incredible success he's had in the NFL and you know, where he is in his career. But, you know, I'm sure that He obviously put a lot of thought into this, and sounds like a great opportunity.
Obviously, your focus is in the pros, but how similar, Coach, do you see college becoming to the NFL now with NIL and everything? Do you think there's a ton of similarities that could make the transition easier?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's definitely closer to the NFL now than it was before. I think that's, you know, that's obvious. And I mean, in you know, pro football and college football always, you know, looked at one another for, you know, for ideas and creativity in certain areas, whether it's scheme, you know, facilities. I mean, I think some of the modern day NFL facilities are aligned with some of these big programs in college football. So, I mean, there's always been, you know, back and forth between college football throughout, but I definitely think it's definitely closer now because of the business model that they're trying to create is going to be in place at the college level.
Coach, you spent a lot of time, you've talked about before the time you spent between Green Bay and Dallas and reflecting on all the different, you know, studies that you're doing. Did you ever consider college as a pathway of like, hey, maybe I'd like to get into college?
I did not, you know, and it was, you know, it was really a year, you know, just the year off, and there was just a lot that went on during that year. So, but no, I did not consider college football at that time.
I've been arguing with Bobby about this. I already know you're going to say I'm right. there's a story going around that Bill had this 400-page document or binder for his presentation. He said that's greatly exaggerated, but I was like, I can see a coach going into the job interview with a ton of plans and binders and documents. We know you guys have them all in your film study. I'm sure those are X's and O's. Did you have that when you were sitting down with Jerry and Steven? Did you walk in with some big binder or presentation?
I'm a binder guy. I do believe in the old school way, but it was put in a PowerPoint presentation. So, just all the different, pods, departments, how you facilitate, coaching operations tied to training room. But yeah, definitely. So I'm not surprised at all that he had a 400-page binder at all.
Coach, I always think it's silly when I hear like it was like a 5-hour meeting and I'm like, okay, is that it? Like,
what do you do for 5 hours?
I'm saying 5 hours isn't enough.
Oh.
And getting to know you knuckleheads, like you're going to sit down and spend all this time. You're going to live with these people and work with these people. You need hours and hours and days. What do you think is a comfortable time span where you're like, okay, I got a good feel for this. I know I can work with these individuals.
To put a time on it, when you look at it, I mean, going into the morning, spending the day and then, having a dinner that night. And if there's any follow up the next morning, I think that's kind of been the norm. And some have been just flying that morning and leave that night. So, ever how much time, that gives you one on one. But there's, everybody does it a little differently. And I think the other part, too, is you got to realize you're not, the interview process. It just doesn't start from the time you arrive at the facility or, step into the meeting and the time you leave. I mean, you're pretty much interviewing, your whole career. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of background and a lot of other conversations that go into those decisions.
Coach, I'm curious, we talk about how the concepts or the two sides are sort of starting to blend a little bit in the NIL era. The last couple of years when you've been at Indy, or you've had guys come through for pre-draft interviews and some of these young players that are coming into the league, have you noticed any difference or evolution in mentality or approach with young players, like the young NIL era players?
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're exposed to more. So definitely, I think there's more. Definitely, their experience level and what they're able to engage is definitely different than to the past generation, without a doubt. So it's a new experience that these young men are going through. Prior to the National Football League, and so definitely, it's definitely different.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105 through the Fan. And I don't want to like relive the whole punt thing, but we were having this discussion with Babe Loffenberg yesterday. And he was going back and forth, and he would go back and forth with Jason Garrett about what you do in terms of coaching instincts and reactions out of players. Like, you don't want them to lose the reaction. You don't want them to lose the instinct, but you also want them to play smart. Like, what is your philosophy on that? Like how do you coach instincts out of players, because the instinct is ball on the ground, get the ball.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely, it goes further than that. I mean, you don't, there's obviously, instinct, balls on the ground, go get the ball. I mean, that's a responsibility in a lot of situations. I mean, really the instincts and awareness is just to continue to coach the game situations. We spend a tremendous amount of time on those game situations. So, the breakdown is in, the awareness, the heightened awareness that, what the play, situation transferred into it. And it was a tough, it was a tough spot because of, where the, both guys were, they were in a vice situation and they were pretty much, out of bounds and coming back inbounds, with the ball on the ground. So, But yeah, it goes more to the area, you know, the situational competitive, you know, in competition, competitive situation that changes during plays where, you know, the heightened awareness comes. So you just simulate those situations over and over and over again. You know, that's really what we do on Fridays and Saturdays every week in season, and do it every day at training camp. So, and that's, you know, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. And you know, definitely something you just got to always try to recreate.
Are there rules that, you know, coaches don't even bother going over because they just should be so ingrained in the player since like the age of 12?
No, I wouldn't say that. To be honest with you, I think it's like watching video. You have to go over. You need mental reps just as much as you need physical reps. You know, we have a game management segment every week where the whole league is cut up just because we want it to be current. Because, you know, things, you know, our league is about trends and how things, you know, tend to happen in bunches and things like that. So, this is something we do spend a lot of time on, and it's the same thing with the fundamentals, you know, particularly the ball security. You know, when we feel that our, you know, our numbers and our performance in a certain area of fundamentals isn't as high as we'd like it to be, you know, so that's another segment that's cut up every week and presented into the team meetings. So, you know, there's constant reinforcement on the fundamentals, the game situations, and the game management.
Coach, the offensive line has played pretty well the last couple weeks, even with the different players being swapped in and out and some of the shifting you guys have done. Why do you think that group has been able to gel so effectively, even with all the moving parts?
Well, I just got to give those men the credit, and, you know, in the atmosphere and culture that's established in that O-line with, you know, with the coaches. You know, I think, you know, Brock Hoffman deserves, you know, a lot of credit there because, you know, his personality and that's, you know, that's a real strength of his. He's a, you know, he's a connector, you know, with, he's definitely a glue, you know, a glue personality. So, but it's just, it's like anything when you go through changes, you definitely have to make sure that the communication is heightened. And I think those guys have done a great job of that. So, you know, cause when your communication's in line, you play fast, you play free, and that's what that group is doing.
And kind of going hand in hand in that, you know, Rico Dowdle has been fantastic the last several weeks. What are some of the specific traits that you like about Rico as a running back? Just taken from, I mean, he was here as an undrafted free agent your first year in Dallas, has hung around on the roster the entire time to now where he's a lead back. What are the things that you've looked at over these 5 years that said, this is why I've wanted Rico around?
Oh, well, I mean, his first impression, clearly it's his run style. I mean, you know, Rico is has such an aggressive, you know, run style, and that's the, you know, that was the first impression of him. I mean, the first time he touched the ball, he scored a touchdown on kickoff. So, I mean, I love the way he attacks the defense when he's running the football. And, you know, he's very bright, has a very high understanding of the game, you know, understands, you know, run blocking, the protection part of it. And, you know, he's played quarterback in high school, so, you know, he has a high football IQ, but he's just a really good football player that, you know, had to go through some injury challenges his first couple of years, and it's been great to see him have this success.
Mike McCarthy on the D&M Leasing Hotline every single Friday at this time here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Coach, it seems like Bryce Young has turned a little bit of a corner here after a ton of questions about his status as the number one pick. What have you seen recently from Bryce on tape?
I think he's really playing in a good rhythm, you know, in the pass game. But I think the biggest thing is extended plays. You know, the scramble, he's done a really good job in the playmaking. You know, I mean, he pretty much almost won that Philadelphia game, you know, himself there in that last series, you know, the fourth down conversion, and also the, you know, had a chance to make a big play that this, you know, came up short. But it's been real, really impressive with his poise and the way he's, you know, maximizing each snap in the passing game.
You know, you mentioned poise. Like, when he was in college, I mean, it looked like he never sped up. Like, he was always under control. And in the beginning of his NFL career, looked like he was, the game was a little fast. Have you seen that is kind of slowed down for him?
Man, that must have been, that's a hell of an observation by you.
Oh, thank you.
He must have played well in that Tennessee game. But
He did.
Sorry about that. I agree. No, I agree with you. I think he that was always a real strength of his, and you know, it seems like he's comfortable in this offensive system. And, you know, fairness to him, he's had change, you know, his whole time there, and that's always tough on a young quarterback. But yes, he seems very, very poised, and he's playing with a different flow clearly this year than last year.
Coach, when you have a player like Jonathan Mingo who's going back against his former team for the first time, do you during the week just, you know, have a moment where you pull him aside and just have a conversation, just check in like, hey, where are your emotions at? Where's your focus at? Do you have those type of talks when guys are going back to a former team the first time?
Yeah, definitely. Usually it's not a big deal. But, you know, and also that's something that, you know, usually comes out of the position coaches conversations earlier and so forth. But yeah, he, you know, Jonathan's a pretty even keeled personality, so I really don't have any concern of him going back to Carolina.
Coach, are you satisfied with what you've gotten out of him so far, and where is he in his development with you guys?
Yeah, he's definitely you know, what you thought he was, you know, physically, but it's just like any player. I mean, getting traded at that time, you know, that late, and you know, in jumping in, it's, you know, it's definitely going to be an adjustment, and he's getting more and more comfortable each week.
It's good to be back with you, Coach. I missed you. Thank you for the time, as always. Have a great day, and we'll see you on Sunday. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.